The first one is the Sfarnu. It says, "Vayiritzuhu min habor." They rushed him, so to speak, from the bar. So obviously he's trying to get a sense of what is it telling us over here. Kedera kultrus Hashem shenasis kmo rega. It is like all tshuas, Yeshua's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they happen in an instant. Ke amrei ki kroi v'yishos elavai. Uka amrei lu ami shameli. By the way, the famous pasuk / chazal, Yeshua's Hashem Kerafayim, does not exist. That's why he doesn't bring it. It's one of those, there are a few dozen quotes from Chazal and Psukim that actually don't exist, and this is one of them. So he just says, "Tshuas Hashem nasas k'may rega, k'omer k'kroi v'yishuas u'lovay." The Kachayim, same thing by the way, the famous Borech min ha'kovah, kovah borech menu, does not say that, so not that lashon. It says, "Gedula, srara." The Kachayim in Mitzrayim, k'omer k'gorshu Mitzrayim, k'amorim zal, k'hispik b'tzeg z'ovas la'achmitz. I want to just explain what's the point of it. Why does it happen that way? And so he's saying basically it's a hallmark of great geulas, Yosef Atzadik, Mitzrayim, and so on. Why does it work this way? And the answer is because there are two types of processes. There is a process like that's evolutionary, things slowly evolve, that's a normal course of history and the normal course of events, that things change. And then there are things that are sort of revolutionary and all of a sudden something happens. The normal process of life is evolutionary. Things gradually happen, there's cause and effect, and cause and effect, and cause and effect, and so on. But the Yeshuas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, those that are specially noticed, those that it's clear as Ashkacha, are disjunct with the previous. They just happen. It sharpens the sense of Ashkacha. So the very, very big inyanim, like Yosef's Geula and Geulas Mitzrayim, Geulas Elavo, is going to be Piso. The Maral speaks a lot about this in the Yetzias Mitzrayim, when he speaks about the chipazon in Yetzias Mitzrayim, that the geula was lemala min hazman. Yes.
I guess we're talking about the actual moment of geula, because I mean, the whole talich of Yetzias Mitzrayim was a whole year of makos and the like.
Yeah, but the makos to what was before, in other words, in the sense that it could have happened the following way. Time went on, Mitzrayim kind of loosened their grip on Klal Yisrael, some new slaves came, Klal Yisrael worked their way up, and so on and so forth. It happened quite suddenly. Moshe Rabbeinu came and announced, Rabbi said, we're moving. So you're right, in as much as the Etzem Geula expresses the entire Geula, yes, it was Pesach, correct. Okay, the next one is Rabbeinu Bechaya, and he speaks a little bit about what the halomas were, and what the point of those halomas were. Veda, shani choyshe b'inyan b'chaloim paroi sheholech b'shev al sheva. Yadua, ki paro ve'amo rishoy maminim hakadmus kofim b'yidiyo v'ashkoch b'chidosh. Mitzrayim were believed in Kadmus, meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu not create the world. They didn't think HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what goes on, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mashkiach, and is Mechadesh the world. V'yisadatom b'chol ha'maisim anasim b'shvolim shekulam yisurin l'mikrim v'tavt ha'shol z'kot v'lof n'gzom. And they felt that everything in this world is part of either just occurrences, nothing that is being dictated from Lamala, or it's given over to Kofi Lechis and so on. Umitoch Shayanim Shachateva Chomisarafa, being that this is what he followed, Kinirmas Bishmo, in other words, Paro is kind of a Lashon Ofer, Herlo min ha-shamayim shtei chalomos elu mitoch shnei ha-yesodos ha-kvedes ha-mayim va-afra. They took two of the physical yesodos. The word yesodos refers to the famous four elements that the Greeks had. It was air, fire, air, water, and earth in descending order of being ethereal to being very, very physical. So the dreams centered around water and offer. Sheva paras olos misod ha-mayim, v'sheva shibolim some sort of offer. So you see paras coming from water, and shibolim coming from offer. V'remez ben liya sova v'rov shu mofis al hashkocha b'shpolim v'filim ha-shashana. And this alludes to hunger and being full, which is really kind of the main gzeira of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And with the ask ourselves, we speak about parnasa. Down, bottom line, parnasa is whether you're hungry or you're full. So umizetinga b'tefilah v'medinas b'yamei zarav ezo seiva. This was meant to be a clear indication about hashkacha. It's a teach us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the mashkiach on the sodos, and he's the one who either gives satiation or hunger. And the reason why so seven of them is, seven was considered the amount of planets, and therefore the mazolos that are instrumental in running the world. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the one who brings those seven paras out. So in the dream itself, there was supposed to be, it's a remez that both the natural process and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's and the mazolos and gehovim are all really doing the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let's just explain the drop. If I tell you that the lights are going to be turned on, if a guy comes and sees a light, a primitive and comes and he sees lights shining, so he figures it is the nature of certain parts of the ceiling to light. But let's say I tell him tomorrow morning there will be light from 6 in the morning till 12 at night, and the day after there's not going to be any light. It's quite clear I'm controlling it. In other words, when we have a dream beforehand telling me about forecasting these events, that's sort of telling me it's showing that somebody's pulling the strings. He needed to do that because Paro had made himself, had deified himself. And the reason why the dream took place in the context of the river. It sort of told him that your downfall is going to be from the Nile. So the cholom was a message to Paro to have charata, and if not, the river itself, which he claimed to be his, will turn against him, and that's how he's punished.
Ready?
Yes.
How is it that this dream would show Paro about the Hashem's existence? Couldn't Paro just say, "Okay, this is what's in the stars"?
I think his understanding. It's interesting the way he seems to portray stars. Is they have a certain mechanical way of doing things, and they're not going to change much with whatever you do, even though they sacrifice to them and so on. I'm not sure. It's a good point. because he then goes up, Meshay Yosef Yodei Amunasa Razos, because Yosef knew this that this was the Emun of Paro, Kofetz Betchil Tvar Lasha Shem Elohim, Vama Bel Adi Elohim, Kloma, Ein Chosif Sar Mikochim Koch Elohim, Amechadish Umashkiach HaYochol, Vuyanesh Lom Paro Kloma Yitein Ezer V'Siyua, Kimanesh Lom Odom is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Nath Mechom HaZolos, and a person should put his trust and faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, someone who brings Pesukim, V'alakavon HaZol Siyaski Yosef Shem Lekim Tom V'Kol Dvar. That's why Yosef keeps mentioning Hashem's name. Omer is Hashem Lehim Osei Yigid L'Paro, and so on, because part of the message was to reinforce that. Yiches Hamaisin Elokim, he attributed the activities to God. Levaya Ke'ein Mais Adam Misur Nekosal Yonos, which is Sava, that it's not the higher beings that have the power, rather Ke'im L'Shem Elohim. L'chein Pasach Tvar B'Ladai Elohim, V'Sim Zay Tvar B'Mai Elohim La'Soy Soy, K'mdav and Parah Kof V'Gir Sh'Olam Mai Sabreishis. Ba'al Kein Ochas Derech Mai Sabreishis, Sh'Pas Sabreish Bar Elohim, V'Sim Asher Elohim La'Soy. So he says, so in a sense, Yosef was trying to convey that message to him, that this all comes from Elohim, and it's all, and Elohim is the one who created the world, and this is all coming from it. I hear your question, Pinchas. I'm not sure how did he do that. Maybe there's another Kochavim, maybe another Mazalos. Maybe this is coming from some other source of power. Yes, Yosef is saying it's Elohim, but how did his understanding of Elohim be different? I don't know. I don't see the answer yet. Okay. The next piece is the Ramban. It's very interesting. The Ramban says as follows: "Vayom ishal achiv, abla shem anach alchino sheino tzaras nafshoi." He turned to each other and said, "You know, we're guilty because we saw our brother suffering. V'schan aleinu when he begged us, v'lo shemani, we didn't listen to him. Al kein bo aleinu tzarasayis. Hashino tzaras nafshoi v'schan aleinu. Choshvu lehem achzoris lo'inish gadol yisem and amechira." They didn't, when they accused themselves of what did they do so terribly wrong to deserve this terrible situation, they didn't focus on the sale itself, but rather on the not evoking any type of rachmanis. Kriyacheyem psoram mischanes avetlein rachmu. Their own brother was begging and falling before them, and they would not have Rachmanis on him. So it's interesting. We saw Sfarno last week, etc. Sfarno over there says that they didn't regret selling him. They felt they were right in the sale, but they were wrong in the cold-heartedness. Here, the Ramban says slightly differently. He says they felt that their crime was that. So why doesn't it say anything about how he begged them and so forth? Either it was obvious that would happen. Or the apostle didn't want to trot out all of the bad that they had done. That's the way it is. The pasuk tells you one place, not the other. So Ramban is saying here a very, very important insight. Even when a person, in other words, when a person decides something is right, and it may be because of negias, so we can fault a person, but not as strongly as when the person has become stone hard. Klal Yisrael is called Rachmanim, and it is their nature to be moved by someone's plight. And if a person can be cold, that's a terrible, terrible indictment of the person's middos. The selling of the brother, the etzem fact that they turned against him, there was a reason for it. They had he plotted against them. He told stories about them. He tried to gain upper hand. He was the favorite. The Torah itself didn't fault the act of turning against him as much as the ability to make themselves so stone-hearted and so cold-hearted that they had no sensitivity towards it. There's a story about Adam Gal. I don't remember who it was. Adam Gal talked about a few hundred years ago that he had a very, very harsh son-in-law. His wife died. In other words, this Gadol's daughter, who was this other Gadol's wife, was Nifta. And she had a sister who was who was an eligible candidate to become second wife. And the father refused. And he asked him why, and he said his eulogy on the first one was too outstanding. But he felt that because it was a masterpiece, that there wasn't enough feeling. It wasn't a person who's truly bereaved, sobs, and loses himself. The ability not to lose yourself at some point becomes a question mark on a person. There's a very, very, very powerful piece in a sefer called Eish Kodesh, which is the Piasatzna Rebbe, who was in the Warsaw Ghetto, and died, and he wrote his Torah there. And obviously some of the Torah, much of it dealt with suffering and so what's going on. And there's a piece there towards the end where he's debating with himself, is his ability to keep functioning and saying Torah and learning in the ghetto a sort of cold-heartedness, insensitivity to what's going around him. Now, mind you, had lost his only son, lost his wife, his mother-in-law, it wasn't as if he hadn't personally suffered tremendously. And he questioned himself, very, very powerful piece, how he comes to grips with it and what he says. But the idea that a person, even if what he's doing is right, but a person's emotions should be on the side of Rachmanis. When a person has to discipline a child, a student, etc., sometimes you have to do it, and you have to do it. But if there's a lack of emotion, or worse, a glee of some sort, then a person really needs to check himself, is he beseder or not. Okay, the next piece is Vayishalom l'shalom, vayoma ha-shalom avich mazake. So this foreign remark is very interesting. The word shalom in Lashon Kodesh means peace. It also means how's your health, how's your well-being. Now, true, maybe in the old days when everybody was enemies and peace was kind of, was like the general description of a person's well-being, maybe yes. Mashlomcha. But there's so many things, there are so many other things besides how the war is going and who's fighting you and who's not fighting you. What about your health? Why is that also included in the word shalom? This one says, Hashalom yesh shalom lachem v'bris laguf, which is today when we ask somebody Mashlomcha, we're not asking him who's he fighting and how the war's going. We're asking him, how does he feel usually? Ki omnom habriyas yeh b'sholom ha'feichem, v'zeh k'shlo yuskomim echad ma'feichem al'feichem. This one says a fascinatingly insightful point. Our body is built with a very, very careful balance of really opposing forces. For every enzyme and hormone, there's an anti-hormone. For instance, a person has insulin, which is produced when it's prodded for sugar to digest the glucose. and it's turned off, and there's something that stops the insulin when there's too little glucose. Because there is nothing in the body that's one-sided, that it's very good to have X or Y. A person's muscles are built in a way, there are muscles that are pulling and pushing. There's, you know, different muscles whose the function of a muscle is accomplished when you have both, you know, pulls and pushes. Everything else, the entire body has to be regulated in terms of fluid intake, fluid output, and so on. So, usually a medical issue is where things become lopsided, and there's nothing that stops there's nothing that stops the insulin, or nothing stops the insulin. Either one kills a person. The person has a balance between sodium and potassium. The person has all sorts of balances in his body, and everything functions like that. And whenever something is out of balance, it is a the person is in danger. That's where health gets affected. So it says that the the Sfarna says shalom internally means that. The truth is, if you think about it, it's true across the board. A person who is emotionally healthy means that, on the one hand, let's give an example. A person connects emotionally, but he's not so sensitive that every time he connects emotionally, he's hurt by it. It requires a certain balance. People that are totally apathetic are not emotionally healthy. People that are super sensitive are not emotionally healthy. Emotional health is where a person is sensitive enough so that in your engagement with the person you feel a response, but not so sensitive that everything hurts. So across the board, the Rambam, when he sort of sketches a person's midos, he talks about the balance, because that is shalom. The person's opposing forces are at balance. The person's care, concern about his welfare is balanced by his sense of giving the other and helping the other. An imbalance, as Ram says, is not a good midah. It doesn't work well. So that's why it's called shalom. There's a Rabbi Abachai, I believe, in Rapo Yerape, where he speaks about the difference between refuah that comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to refuah that comes from human beings. And he says, because every refuah is it's a push in one direction. For instance, if a person takes medication for too much acid in his stomach, what he's doing with the medication is dampening the acid production. Many times that will lead to some problem, because and most medications, you have something that kills bacteria, it kills the good bacteria as well. There is no medication that does not have a side effect, because that's the nature of the body. When you tamper in any one direction, you are going to create some problem. Except that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he heals, that's when it's total. But at any rate, I just want to put out the same point of that the goof is some total of a balance of different forces, and so on. Okay, now we have Rabbeinu Chaya, the last piece in Miketz. Which means things of the first parasha we've done completely. It says Valdero HaKabbalah. The pasuk says Ve'atem alu l'shalom alavichem, and you go back in peace to your father. Valdero HaKabbalah Mashenech Mepasha Zoy Pasuk l'shalom alavichem. Why does this pasha finish with that? Zeremez v'asaru gemalchis Asha olu l'sholom el aviyem sheva shemayim achas en slavlu v'nisifu mechad asha yosef. Asar rugim malchus, there's a medrash. Okay. It says that this is sort of the pasuk is describing a sort of gemalchus that they went up in peace to their father in Shemayim after they had been purified from the Avera of Saul and Yosef. Now, Asaru Gemalchus is a very interesting Indian. It's a medrash. There's a medrash called Asaru Gemalchus. The individual stories are written up in different places, Medrash and Gemaras, the Midrash story. They did not happen at one time, as Rav Chaya points out. They happened in different times. And yet, the Medrash puts it together, and the Piyut, both Kinnis and Yom Kippur, acts it out as one story. In Yom Kippur, you have the story acted out as if it is an Einish for the shoes that they sold, for Yosef that sold for shoes. It says that he filled up a whole warehouse with shoes and said, this is, you have to pay back for it, and so on. It seems as if the Hashgacha of the Asaru Gemalchus is connected to 10 brothers of Yosef that obviously Binyam was excluded, that participated in the selling him off. Akvayadata, Ksonas Pasim was the beginning of it, but Nechem Achzoyus Gedola, Mashatov Ksonas Bedamasoya, Vomel Aviem Zos Matsanu. It was a terrible Achzoyus, the way they were able to sort of play an accident and bring it back to their father and tell him that his favorite son died. Lefikarei onesh ben begufam. And that's why they got an onesh, a physical onesh. Shehizcha ashibim achem moiseis miyad. They immediately became subjugated to Mitzrayim as soon as Yosef died. The achaz man berugim malchus shenidone begufasam. In Aruge Malchus, their body was killed. Ki haguf kutonis la nefesh. So he says a remarkable statement here. The Shibud Mitzrayim was very, very, was a fitting punishment because they sold him as an Eved and they became Avodim. But they said they also dipped his garment in blood. And that was extremely cool. Like they framed the whole murder scene and just to get him out of the way, in a sense. That way his father wouldn't look for him and so on. So he says that they were punished with Asaru Gemalchus because the guf of Klal Yisrael is like a coat for the nefesh. So the Asaru Gemalchus were really the guf. The Kesoynes Pasim of Klal Yisrael were Asaru Gemalchus. Valketa Parashas, it says 10 times the word Hanoshim, the limits of Asaru Gemalchus. Veloi Machia Yisim of Bnei Yaakov. And then it lists all the time it says the word Hanoshim. Veloi Asaru Gemalchus, and these are all the Asaru Gemalchus. Aleim Oma David, Ola Shalom Ki Doirish Domim Oysam Zocha Lashonga Taksa David. These are the 10 people that represent the hakrov of Klal Yisrael. That David says about them, Kideish Damaitim Zohar Shach Tak Tanavim. V'yesh kol adas, Shalei Bezman Echod, and Nikol V'yachav. Rebbe Chaya says, historically, it didn't have the same time, there wasn't one Gzadin. There's a tsiruf, Chazal HaMetzarev, the Hashgacha, that these 10 people that died in a period of tens of years, they all came from one Shoresh. Selling Yosef. It's extraordinary. I want to understand a little bit of an omic in this. We understand that Kadosh Baruch Hu was vengeful and that 2,000 years down the pike he decides, not quite 2,000, but he decides to take revenge on something that happened so long before. That's not the right way to look at it. The right way to look at it is, Klal Yisrael as a klal exists in four dimensions. And just like a person himself, his door, and in the door itself, you mitzvah to Klal Yisrael, Klal Yisrael lidoyroisa, generations of Klal Yisrael are mitzvah to one unit. And therefore, the Gaon says about, he speaks about where our door is, but different, so when HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashgacha chooses to be Pegea in X, Y, or Z today, it's not that it's 1,000 years later, or 1,500 years later, or whatever. It's sort of, it's one Hemshech of Knesset Yisrael, and therefore these Gedolim are the Ksenes Pasim of Klal Yisrael that sold Yosef down. That's the flavor of what he's saying. Okay.